Today's share of the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yudal. Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to finish off the first parak today. We're beginning 10 lines from the top with another statement in the name of Rav Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. We're continuing to discuss the Kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara starts off, V'yomer Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, my dirsiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, T'klai Yisroel, you shall follow after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How is it possible for a human being to follow after our Kodesh Baruch Hu? Hello, Kvar Ne'emar. We've already said, Hashem, Elokecha, Hashem, your God, Eish Ochlohu. He is a fire that eats everything. He's a consuming fire. So how can we possibly follow HaKodesh Baruch Hu? So Gemara says, what does it mean? Ela, Lahalech Achar Midosav, Shalakodesh Baruch Hu. We're supposed to emulate HaKodesh Baruch Hu to see the traits and principles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, runs this world by, and we're supposed to emulate them. For example, Mahu Malbush Arumim, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothes those that are naked, such as Adam and Chava, Vayas Dechsiv, as the Pasuk says, Vayas Hashem Elokim Adam Ulishto, Kostnos Or Vayabishem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the very beginning of Maisa Bereishis, goes and clothes Adam and Chava and puts on them these Kostnos Or, these garments that are made of leather, of skin, and Vayabishem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothed them so too. Just like we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothes the naked, so Avata Habei Sharumin, so too. We have an obligation. A person's Nebuch Pori doesn't have clothing. We have to go and supply them with clothing. We have to also clothe the naked. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bikur Cholim, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mavakir Cholim to Avravina, as the Pasuk says, after the Bris Milah, Vayir Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre, it was on the third day of the Bris Milah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avravina to be Mavakir Cholim, so too. Avato Bakir Cholim, so too. We're supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts, so to say, and we're supposed to act in that same fashion. Likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nichem Avelim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menachem Avel. And therefore, we also have to be Menachem Avel. Where do we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menachem Avel? Dersev, Vahi Acharei Mos Abraham, it was after the Ptira of Abram Avinu. What happens then? Vayavarech Elokim Es Yitzchak Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to bless Yitzchak Avinu. So the Mefarshim explain, as Rashi points out over here in Dibra Masa, Vayavarech Elokim Es Yitzchak, Nichamu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be Menachem him, and I love it, but the loss of his father, Uberecho Birchas Avelim, and he gave the bracha on Avelim, the Birchas Avelim. So therefore, so too, we also, Af Atah, when we go, Nachem Avelim, we have to go and comfort people in Nebuch that lost somebody. Likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cover Meisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu buries the dead, Dersib, by Moshe Rabbeinu, by Yikbar, also by Gai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, Bechvodu, Va'atzu, buried Moshe Rabbeinu, so too, we have an obligation, Af Atah, Kivor Meisim. So we have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this way we have to go bury Meisim, and we have to do all the chesed and all the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. We're supposed to learn from them and do them to other people as well. Now, what exactly is this kostnosor that we just mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothed Adam and Chava, so it's Machlokes, Rav Shmuel. Again, we don't know, we had this many times, we're not sure which one said which. Chadamar, one of them, either Rav Shmuel said, Dovor Habor Min Or, that this was actually something that came from Or, from hide. As Rashi points out, in the Masal Dovor Habor Min Or, Shel Tzemerhu, this was some sort of woolen garment that he made for them. Not a leather garment, but a woolen garment. The Chadamar, Dovor Sheho Or, Nenem Imenu. As Rashi points out, something that the person's skin would get pleasure from, shal pishtan, this is made of linen, shal adam lovesh somuch lioro, this person wears this linen garment on his skin, and it's very comfortable. So therefore, either it was wool, or it was linen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava. Again, there are many midrashim that say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them on the fig leaves, because that was from the tree that they ate, according to one of the four possibilities, they ate from a fig tree, so therefore, that was the Eitz Hadas, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them clothing protection from the fig tree. But here, our Gemara says, Rav Shmuel, they say that it was either wool or that it was linen. Furthermore, Dorash Rav Simloi, Rav Shmuel dashes the following, Torah, Tchiloso, Gemilus Chasadim, Visofo, Gemilus Chasadim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show us the importance of Gemilus Chasadim. He starts off the Torah with Gemilus Chasadim, and he ends the Torah with Gemilus Chasadim. Where is that? Where do we see the start of the Torah, Tchiloso, Gemilus Chasadim? Where do we see that? Because the Pasuk says, Vayas Hashem Elokim, Yodam Lishto, Kostosar, Vayabishem, very beginning of Maisa Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does an act of chesed for Adam and Chava. They now realize that they're naked, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed, and he puts them on clothing. Where do we see at the end of the Torah, Vesofa? Where do we see Gemilus Chasadim over there? They'll see, because the Pasuk says, Vayik Baruch Hu Bagai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the very end of the Torah, so he goes and buries Moshe Rabbeinu. So the beginning and the end is basically to show us how important it is. We start and end with the concept of Gemilus Chasadim, and we're supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that fashion. Another drasha from Rav Simloi, Dorosh Rav Simloi, the following: Mipnei man nisav Moshe Rabbeinu likanes Eretz Yisrael. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Eschanan. We said 515 times he davened to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, please let me go into Eretz Yisrael. Please let me go into Eretz Yisrael. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu so interested in going into Eretz Yisrael? V'chi lecho mipiria hutzarech. What, he wanted the fruits of Yaffa oranges? He was so desirous of eating the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Oh, lispar mituva hutzarech, or to get some other physical benefit, to get some sort of a satiety or some enjoyment from the produce of Eretz Yisrael, chas v'shalom. That wasn't why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go in for some gastronomic pleasure or some physical pleasure. Rachmona Litzlan. Elakach amar Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Ha be mitzos nitztavu Yisrael ve miskaimim el be'eretz Yisrael. There are certain mitzos hatluyos ba'aretz that you can't fulfill out here in the Eivar Yad, and you can't fulfill in Mitzrayim, you can't fulfill in the Midbar. And I'm desirous of doing this mitzos in Eretz Yisrael. This way I'll have the chance to do these mitzvahs. I can't give truma over here in the Midbar. I can't go and give other mitzvahs at Tulias Baritz over here in the Midbar. So please, I want to go and tear it to Israel just for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvahs. Someone like Kosh says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kluma Tamavaki Shalakabu Schar. The only reason you want to do this is to get the schar of doing these mitzvahs. No, I'll give you the schar without having you do the mitzvahs. Maladi Alecha Kilu Asisam. I will give it to you as if you had actually done all these mitzvahs. Now, there's a major problem over here. We know the famous statement, Pirkei Avos, Alt Yukeved, Meshamish Zerab, Lekau Pras, that we shouldn't be on a, quote, lower level of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu just to get reward. So here it looks like we're making Moshe Rabbeinu like he's only wanting to go into Eretz Yisrael to get the reward. Hashem says, okay, I'll give you the reward. This is Moshe Rabbeinu we're talking about. He certainly didn't want the reward. He wanted to do the mitzvahs. So some of the Mefarshim explain as follows, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to show Klai Yisrael, look, I'm doing the mitzvahs. These aren't menial labor to go and harvest from the field. These aren't simple, mundane things that we're doing. No, this is a mitzvah to harvest the crops in Eretz Yisrael and to do all the trumas and maizos, to do all the other mitzvahs, as Luis Suarez. This is what I want to show Klai Yisrael, that they should learn. If Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do this, how much more so should we want to do this? If it wasn't below Moshe Rabbeinu's dignity to want to go into Eretz Yisrael to do these mitzvahs, we want to do them also. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do. And that's what it means that Kosh Baruch Hu says, I will make it that all of Klai Yisrael will want to do these mitzvahs as if you had done them yourselves, as if you had been the example. We know that when a person talks a big game, that doesn't mean anything. It's when you walk the walk, that makes it much more important. This is such an important inyan in regards to Pesach. Is an important thing in regards to all mitzvahs, that we have to do things, we have to actually physically show ourselves, kielu hotzionim mitzrayim, because we want to demonstrate that we're really thinking this, not just saying, yeah, we're going after Mitzrayim today, now pass the soup. So the idea is that when you do an action, so that really sets the stage for your children to see. If you go and learn, so then your children will go and learn too. If you tell them, go and learn, so they're going to tell their children to go and learn. So that's what Moshe would want to do. He didn't want to just say, these are the mitzvahs of Tluyas Baruch. No, he wanted to show them, I'm doing the mitzvahs of Tluyas Baruch, and therefore you should want to do them as well. And this is based upon the pasuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Malani alecha kilu asisam." I will consider this as if you did them, as if you showed Klai Yisrael this shenema, as the pasuk says. And now we're going to have a long pasuk from Yeshaya, Perek Nun Gimel pasuk Yud Beis, where it tells us, "Lochein achalek lo v'rabim." Therefore, I will give you a portion over here for the rabbin, the es atzumim yichalek shalol, and you'll divide it up with all of the other people that are strong people. Tachas sheheira lamavis nafsho, as if you were willing to be mosi in nefesh. The es poshim nimon, to be counted among those that are poshim. Who chayt rabbin nosa, and you took the sins of the rabbin upon yourself. La poshim yafgia, and you davened even for those that sin. Now, what does this pasuk mean? So lochein achalek lo barabim. The morgadash is as follows: that which it says, I will give you a portion from the rabbim, so that means yochol kachronim v'lo krishonim. I might think the Moshe Rabbeinu will get a portion like the people of the later generations, but not like the people like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov from the earlier generations. Talmud Lomar, no. Yes, atzumim yichalek shlo. You'll get a portion just like the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ki Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Shehein atzumim b'Torah uv'mitzvos. They were the great ones, the strong ones. Atzumim, the strong ones in Torah mitzvos. Tachas sheherol amavus nafsho. What does that mean? Shemasu atzmo lemisa. You were willing to give up your life for Klal Yisrael. Shenemar v'im ayin mecheni no misivicha v'gomer. That's I will erase me from your book. If you don't save Klal Yisrael, then erase me as well. Kosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, they sinned with Chet Egel, I'm going to wipe them out, and we'll start afresh with you. Moshe Rabbeinu told the Kosh Baruch Hu, if a three-legged stool, meaning Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, weren't able to have Klal Yisrael be supported by them. So how could a one-legged stool, if I'm the only one, how could I possibly support Klal Yisrael? They'll sin with me too. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Kodesh Baruch Hu, v'im ayin, if you're not going to save Klal Yisrael and forgive their sins, so b'chayninah misifrecho, so wipe me out from your sefer as well. We all know the famous drasha, misifrecho means sefer chof, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is in the 20th parsha, Parsha's Tetzaveh, but Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not found. Alternatively, it says, Bisifrucha Asher. Asher in Gematria is 501. Parshas Tetzaveh is 501. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, erase me from a Sefer. Which Sefer? It will be Sefer Tetzaveh. And then the pasuk continues, as Poshim Nimna, you count me amongst those that are sinners. Shinimna Mesei Midbar. The Moshe Rabbeinu was counted amongst the, quote, the Dar of the Midbar that sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Meraglim, and the Chayt of the Eagle. Because he died with them, even though, of course, he had nothing to do with those sins. And therefore, by his dying, he, so to say, took the sin of all the Klal Yisrael of the Midbar upon himself. His death was a kapara for the Masa Egel. And then finally, what does that mean? It means he tried to get them to do tshuva. He tried to get Korach v'Adaso to do tshuva. He tried to get all the people in the Midbar to constantly think about what they were doing wrong and to do tshuva. And where do we see that he davened for them? That they should be, in fact, choze b'tshuva. In Pegiya, this lotion of laposhim yafkiya, elo tfilo. Where do we see that? Shenemar. This lotion of yafkiya is tfilo. Shenemar. V'ato al tispalo b'yadom azeh. Yirmiyo was told, don't daven for Klal Yisrael. V'al tiso badom rina usfila. Don't go and speak up for them by davening to me, by crying out to me with a tfilo. V'al tifka bi. And we see there, he said, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyo, don't go and tifka bi, don't go and daven for them on their behalf to me. And therefore, we see this lashon, laposhim yafkia, in Yeshaya, is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, he did daven for Klal Yisrael at all times. We conclude the first beautiful parak of Soto with this, Hadron Lecha HaMekani Lishto, Hadron Lecha HaMekani Lishto, Hadron Lecha HaMekani Lishto, and now we begin the second parak. Second parak begins teaching us about the Karban Mincha that the Sota has to bring. Now Rashi points out, already in the first Rashi in this parak, Habal, Hoya Mevi Es HaMincha, is talking about the Baal. The Baal, the husband, has to go bring his wife's Mincha. So all of the Farshim ask, how come the Baal has to go bring it? Why doesn't the woman go and bring it? So I saw two very interesting ideas brought down. Number one is that if she was guilty, so by her bringing this, she could be mefagalit. When she brings it, she'll have an incorrect machshava, and it's the bringing of the mincha, which is called maskeris avon, is how that's how the beis sota works. So if she was either mefagel or metame the korban mincha, so then if it was her carbon, she could do that. If it's not her carbon, if it's her husband's carbon, then she doesn't have the power to go be mefagale, to go make it pigal. So therefore, that's why bedavka, she is not bringing it, but her husband brings it on her behalf. In addition, that's one of the reasons why the mefarshim was slain. There's no oil added to carbon mincha, because then there's a liquid that comes into contact with it. It's now mukshel kabel tuma. Without the oil being added to it, as we'll learn in this parak, so then it can't be mukshel kabel tuma. Okay, let's start the parak. Hoya mevi es minchasa, the husband is obligated to bring his wife's mincha, the mincha sota, besoch kefifo mitzvah. He brings it within a very plain wicker type of basket. The kefifa that they're talking about over here is sal shel nitzrei dekel. It's like palm fronds, a wicker basket that's put together. And these palm fronds are the part that grows around the base of the palm tree. And you cut those off, and you make it into a basket, and that's what you bring. This is a very inexpensive, very simple type of a basket. She has to bring her barley flour offering in this basket. And she'll carry it around during the entire time that they're trying to talk with her to not go and drink the mesota if she in fact is guilty. So they do this to tire her out. She'll be physically exhausted, so if she is, Rahmanul Islan, a woman who sinned, this will participate or help her to spur her not to go and drink the mesota. Then the Mishnah tells us, call him an ochos in general. Right? In Parshas Tzav, we learn about the Korban Mincha and all the other Korbanos. So it tells us there, call him an ochos tchilasa v'sofa b'klisharis, that you have to go and bring the Korban Mincha originally in a klisharis. We'll see it's in a nice kli, that's what it really will ultimately mean. And ultimately you have to go and consecrate it in a different second klisharis to give it kedusha. The first kli that you put it into gives it what we call kedushas domim. That's makdishit, but it can still be redeemed at that point in time. However, when you put it into the second kli sharis, now it has kedushas haguf, and it no longer can be redeemed. So every mincha starts off being put into a nice kli, and then ultimately you have to put it into the kli sharis to give it kedushas haguf. Bizu, but in this situation with the sota, you don't put it into a nice kli at the beginning. Bizu, tchilasa, b'chvifa mitzvahs, you put it into a very, very plain and simple wicker basket, b'sofa b'kli sharis, but ultimately it does have to be put into a real kli sharis in order to give it kedushas haguf. Likewise, kol ha-minachos, tuno shemen levona. All the other minachos, they require shemen and levona to be added to them. We'll see in the Gemara, there are exceptions to this rule, and the Gemara will go through what are the exceptions. But the Mishnah tells us right now that all carbon minchas, all flour offerings, they require to have shemen, oil, and levona, frankincense, added to them. However, the mincha sota, vizu, eina tuuna, lo shemen, velo levona. It specifically doesn't contain any oil or any frankincense because we want to make this as plain and as simple and as non-beautiful an offering as possible. That's the reason why we don't add anything to it. The Gemara will discuss this in more detail. Then the Mishnah tells us as well, kol minachos bos minachitim. In general, all minachos come from wheat, but we'll see that there are exceptions to this rule as well, which the Gemara will discuss. Bezu, this one, the mincha sota, bo min hasorim, it comes from barley. And one of the explanations we've already given in the Masechta is because she acted in a seductive fashion to her adulterer, that she gave her really fancy food, so now we give her, her carbon is a very bare bones saorim, barley carbon. It's also a food that is used for animals, as we'll see in the Mishnah in a moment, so therefore she acted like an animal, not being loyal and having fidelity to her husband, so therefore animals don't have that type of a relationship. They mate with whoever it is. So therefore, she acted in the same way. So we give her carbon mincha from barley. Then it says, the mincha sa'omer, however, which is also for barley, avu bishabu min asorim. So, wow, if you're telling me barley is so bad, then how come the mincha sa'omer, which Be'ezus Hashem, we're still going to bring this year on Pesach? I'm dictating this before Pesach. You may be listening to this after Pesach, but Be'ezus Hashem will all have brought the carbon mincha sa'omer that's brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach and in the Beis Hamikdash HaBnei this year. So then, the korban mincha of the mincha sa'omer is also coming from barley. If you're telling me that barley is not a nice thing, so how come that comes from barley? So the Gemara says, no. He ha'isa ba geres. It came in extremely finely sifted flour. So the barley flour was sifted so many times, as the Gemara elsewhere tells us, so therefore it was as good as wheat flour. Bezu bo kemach, as opposed to the mincha of the sota just comes as coarse flour, it's not finely sifted flour, and therefore that's the difference between the mincha sa'omer and the mincha sota. They both come from barley, but the mincha sa'omer is so finely sifted and is done so well that there's no difference between that and fine wheat. But the mincha sota, that's coarse barley flour, which is very not prestigious and not very fancy. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, Rav Galil Omer, Kishem Shemaisa Masel Masi Behema Kach Korbana Machal Behema. Since she acted like an animal, not being with her husband, but mating with somebody else, so just like the animals mate with somebody else, so her carbon is animal fodder, it's barley. Marasol Hashem tells the Tanya, within the following brisa, Abu Chanan Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Abu Chanan says over the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, some are not goris, the words we call kach loma, but what he's basically saying is, why do we make the a woman who's accused of being a sota to go and carry around her mincha in this kfifa mitzvahs? So we had said, kidei liyaga, to go and exhaust her, to tire her out, in the hopes that she will not drink the mei sota if she sinned. Kidei shetachsur bo, so she'll be so tired, she'll admit, listen, I did takan aveira, and I'm going to not drink the mei sota. Now, what do we see from here? Im kocha, if we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still wanting us to not put this woman to death, the easy answer would be, let the woman drink the Mesota. She's an adulterer, and nothing would please us more, so to say, than to see her get her due punishment in front of everybody. Her and the adulterer both were killed in this horrific fashion. So we see that the Torah is telling us, no, even though she's an adulterer, even though she did a horrible avera, we're not looking to go kill her. Let's hope that she'll do tshuva, and we try to talk her out of drinking it. So if the Torah is so concerned about a person who's an avarian, so Allah has kama v'kama, kal v'chomer al osei ritzono, how much more so the Torah wants a person who is following the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's doing the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much more so should we do everything possible to make that person comfortable? Now Gemara asks, umimai mishum dechasu, how are you telling me over here that this is because we want the woman to not die? Maybe it's because dilma ki hechi delo ti mochek magilla. Maybe The reason why we're trying to convince her, we're trying to tire her out that she shouldn't drink the Mei Salta is because we haven't yet been mochek the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We haven't erased the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's our goal here. We don't really care about this woman. Once we erase the shame of Hashem, so then we actually try to tell her to drink. And we'd be happy if she dies, if she's a Sota. So maybe that's the reason why we're tiring her out, in that we shouldn't have to erase the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Gemara answers, Kosova, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer holds, and we turn to Yudalad Amud Beis, is that in fact, the Mashka, the Achakach Machriv Es Minchasa. No, we erase the Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we give it a drink to Mei Sota, but it doesn't work until we bring her Karban Mincha. And therefore, we still try over here and tell her, listen, admit your guilt, even though you drank the Mei Sota, even though you drank the Mei Amarim, they won't work until you bring your Karban Mincha. So please don't bring your Karban Mincha. That's why they tired her out, Bedavka, with the Karban Mincha. The Imi Shum Megillah, because if you're telling me it's the shame, erasing the shame of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's already been done. Ha Imchaka Law. That was already done. As the top Rashi tells us, many people aren't aware of this opinion. This is a machlokes, but Rashi says, first we give her the drink, the water, Mashke Hamayim, the top Rashi, the Achakach Makriv Minchasa, and only after she drinks the water do we actually bring her Karban Mincha. And this is a machlok, is a pluksa, he, the perekah in hotel, which we'll learn on daf, you test in the next perek, and umiyu, kol zman shelo karva minchas, according to this opinion, as long as her mincha has not yet been brought, even though she drank the mei hamarim, ain't on the deck, it's not going to work, because the pasuk tells us that the mincha of the sota, dirsiv, maskeres avo, and it's the mincha that potentiates the water to work. Even though she already drank the Mei Sota, so we want her to go and be exhausted, carry this mincha around, so she'll say, listen, Taka, I did this sin. This is because we have mercy on her, because if it's because of the Megillah, the Mishum Megillah, the erasing Shem HaShem, as we pointed out, it's already been erased. So here's where Rabbi Eliezer saw that this is why we want to go and have mercy on the woman, and not because we're concerned about erasing the Shem of Hashem. Then the Mishnah is quoted. It says, "Kol minachos uchulei, all the minachos offerings are first brought in a kli sharis, and then they're transferred into another kli sharis." But that seems to go against the following brisa or minu. We learned the following brisa different than our Mishnah. So the brisa says, "Say the minachos ketzad. What is the order for bringing a normal carbon mincha, not a sota, a normal carbon mincha?" Adam may be mincha mitoch beso, he takes the flour from his house, beklosos shel keset vizov, in fancy silver and gold baskets. Then, vinosna, he goes and takes it, and places it letoch klishares, into one of the Beis HaMikdash klishares, umekatsho beklishares, and then it gets the kedusha sagov that the klishares endows it with. Now, so then you take this mincha in the klisharis and you add to it the oil and the frankincense, the shamna, shemen, and the lavona, saw, and the lavona, as every carbon mincha, with a couple of exceptions that we've already alluded to, needs to have shemen and lavona added to it. And then you bring it to the kohen. The kohen melicha etzel mizbeach. Then the kohen brings the carbon mincha with the shemen and the lavona on it to the mizbeach. He Bedavka brings it to the southwestern corner. The Gemara later on will explain why Bedavka, the southwestern corner. Kineged Chudish Al-Keren, right to the point of the corner where the south border meets the west border, right at that point of that corner, Vidayu, and that's enough. The Gemara will explain later on, as Rashi points out, what does it mean, Vidayu, that's enough? What would you have thought you needed to do, that you're now telling me that this is enough? And in any event, we'll get to explain that a little bit later in the Gemara. Then you're about to do the kmitza. The kmitza is the removal of the 3 fingers worth of flour from the korban mincha, and it's that 3 fingers worth that is actually placed, the kmitza is placed into another kli shares, and that is actually what is sacrificed on the mizbeach, and the remainder of the mincha offering is called the shrayim, and that's eaten by the pirchei kahuna. So now is the time to do the kmitza. The kmitza is one of the most difficult types of avodos that we have in the Beis HaMikdash. You stick your 3 middle fingers in, not the thumb, not the pinky, into the flour offering, and you have to pull up a kmitza, a handful of this. You take the thumb and you wipe off any excess flour on the top. You take the pinky, wipe off any excess flour on the bottom. And masalik is halavona tzadecha. Now, you can't take any lavona when you're doing this kmitza, because you're not allowed to have anything in there other than flour. So you have to push the lavona that's placed on the top to the side, masalik is halavona tzadecha, and then you do the kmitza, the komates, mimokum shinisrabasham, Tame, you do the kmitza bedavka in a place where there's lots of oil and flour, and then you take that kmitza, the nosn l'toch kli sharis. You then take the kmitza in your hand and you put it into another kli sharis. Umekacho b'kli sharis. And that will now give it kedusha of the kmitza in this kli sharis, which will then be sacrificed on the mizbeach. Now, you just can't sacrifice that kmitza yet. You have to go and take all the Lavona, Malakis Lavona, so all the Lavona that was left with the Shrayim, so then you have to go collect that Lavona and place it, the Nosa Agabov, onto the Kemitza. So Menachor is the words with Malo, so Lagabi Mizbeach, then you put that up eventually in the Klisharis on the Mizbeach. In any event, the Gemara continues, says, Umaleu Maktiro B'Klisharis. And then you go and you bring the Kemitza up onto the Mizbeach and you are Maktir that, you sacrifice that on the Mizbeach, and the Shrayim you'll eat with the Pirchei Kuna. But here it tells us as well, umolcho, you have to go and salt it. There's a mitzvah to salt the kmitza. If you wanted to, you were allowed to salt it before it became the kmitza. But the mitzvah is to salt the kmitza. V'nosno al gabi yishev. And then you go put the salted kmitza on top of the mizbeach and have it be burned. Once you've done that, karav hakometz, after that has been done, shireu necholim, the shrayim, the leftover karbin mincha, whatever wasn't taken with the kmitza, the majority of the karban mincha is left for the pirchei kuna, and those pirchei kuna, the male kohanim, v'rashayim ha-kohanim, if they wish to, they're allowed to go and add to it all sorts of delicacies. Litein l'socha yayin, they can add to it some wine, v'shemen, more oil, l'dvash, honey. The only thing that they can't do, v'ein asurin, elamil chametz. The one thing they can't do is let it become chametz. The karban mincha was made out of matzah. There are two exceptions, that there are certain types of mincha offerings that are not made out of matzah. They're actually made out of chametz, but the vast majority of the menachos offerings were a matzah. So, in this situation, even the shrayim, and we'll dash this from psukim, aren't allowed to be used to be made into chametz. They have to still retain their status as matzah. Now the Gemara asks the question, this is the Urminu, this Brice that we just brought down, that seems to go against what we learned in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that they're all brought in Kli Shares. But here in the Brice it said that they were put into the silver and gold klossos, baskets. So Gemara says, Tani Mia, it says in the Brice that we just brought down, B'klossos shel kesef, B'klossos shows up. It was taken in gold and in silver baskets. Now not in Kli Shares, in our Mishnah said it had to be in Kli Shares. So I'm a Rav Papa says, Ema bekelim haru'uyin l'chli sharis. So it doesn't mean that they actually put into kli sharis. It means that they were put into fancy gold and silver vessels that could have been a kli sharis. That's why there's no steerer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Mara says, the implication here is, Miklal, the tvifo mitzvahs, that wicker basket that we use for the sota, lo chazya, would not be allowed for any other type of carbon mincha, and only by the sota is that allowed. So who does this go like? Come on. It seems to go not like the opinion of the low Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that? Because we have a machlokes, the Tanya. If you have a klisharis that was a wooden klisharis, so Rebbe is posel. Rebbe says it's no good. Oh, so our Mishnah goes like Rebbe, that says that a kfifa mitzvahs, which is like a wood basket, a wicker basket, would not be allowed to be used except by the korban sota. So by everybody else, you can't use it. Oh, so Rebbe's posel, a klisharis that was made out of wood. But Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda was machshir. So you see that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda doesn't seem to go in accord with our Mishnah. So that's what we said. Our Mishnah is not the law of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Where it says, no. Our Mishnah could still be in accord with Yosef Yehuda. Of course, it's in accord with Rebbe, but it could even be in accord with Yosef Yehuda. Why is that? Because Eimad Yomar Yosef Yehuda bechashuvim. Yosef Yehuda said that you can be using something that is a chashuv kli, but the kvifa mitzvahs is certainly not a chashuv kli. Bepchusin miyomar. He didn't say you can use a kvifa mitzvahs. Okay, he didn't require you to use gold or silver, but he allowed you to use a nice wooden utensil, but not a kvifa mitzvahs. So therefore, the Prusin, even Rav Yosef Yehuda wouldn't allow, because after all, Leslie Rav Yosef Yehuda, Hakriveh Nolaf Echosecha, after all, even Rav Yosef Yehuda holds from the famous pasuk that we have, telling us that when you're going to bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you better go make it nice. You can't go and bring something terrible. As Malachi said, it's the famous pasuk of Malachi, that Hakriveh Nolaf Echosecha, would you give such an offering to your officers? Hayirtzucha, would he accept it? You want to give a gift to the President of the United States? Would he go and accept a piece of garbage? No, you give him a fancy gift. So therefore, You can't go and bring an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in something that's not nice. It doesn't have to be gold or silver, but it has to be something very nice. So the Kriyat of the Mitzvahs is, even according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, not considered chashuv enough that you could go and bring it. So therefore, only by the Sota is that allowed, but everybody would agree that by any other type of mincha, the Kriyat of Mitzvahs would not be allowed. Now the Gemara says, V'nos no l'chli shareis u'mekachim l'chli shareis. We said in our Brisa that they would first put it into a kli shareis, and that would give it the Kedusha, that it now has Kedushas Aguf. So the implication is, the Gemara wants to suggest, Shamas Mino, we learn from here, Klei Shareis, Ein Mekachin Lomidas. It says, the way the Brice is phrased, V'nosla L'Klei Shareis, you put it into Klei Shareis, U'Mekachin L'Klei Shareis, implying that you have to have Das. I hereby am putting this into this Klei Shareis to give it Kedushas Aguf. Implying, if you don't have such Das, it doesn't get Kedusha from just being put into the Klei Shareis. Mar says, not necessarily so. Ema, you could argue that the Braisa is telling us over here, nos no b'kli shareis, likacho b'kli shareis. You're putting it into kli shareis to give it kedusha saguf. Even if you didn't have intention to do so, it still gets kedusha saguf. We continue to action in the Braisa. It says, v'no sein ala sham no levonos. So you have to put into it oil and frankincense. Where do we see that? Shenema, because the Pasuk says, v'yotzak ala shemen, v'no sein ala levonos. Because the Pasuk tells us that you have to add to every carbon mincha, you have to go and add shemen and levona. Then the Braisa said, u'malich and etzel kohen, you have to go bring it to the kohen. Where do we see that? The Pasuk says, d'chsev, v'eviyah el b'nei Aaron ha-kohen. V'gomer, you have to bring it to Aaron to go and continue doing the avoda of the korban mincha. Then the Braisa said, "V'kohen molicha mitzvah mizbeach." The kohen has to go bring the korban mincha and be megish it to bring it to the mizbeach. And the pasuk says, "D'chsev v'gisha." Now the gersa that we have over here is Eitzel, but the real pasuk is v'gisha el hamizbeach. You have to go and bring it to the mizbeach. Okay. And the Braisa said, "Megisha b'keren dromis maravis bedavka." You bring it to the corner where the south and western borders meet. Keneged chudish o'keren, exactly at that point of the corner, and that is enough. Vidayo, you don't have to do anything else. So Gemara says, first of all, where do we know they have to bring it to the corner, and what does it mean? Vidayo, and that's enough. What else would I have thought you have to do? So Gemara first says, minol, and how do we know that you have to bring it to the southwest corner? Because the pasuk tells us, v'zos toras hamincha hakrev osa b'nei aron lefnei Hashem el p'nei hamizbeach. You have the following is the Torah of the mincha. This is the law that every mincha has to have, that you have to have the Bnei Aaron, the Kohanim, bring it. Two things. Lefnei Hashem, number one. El Pnei HaMizbeach, number two. Lefnei Hashem means in front of the Ohel Moed, in front of the Heichal. And Pnei HaMizbeach means in front of the Mizbeach. Now, we have to know the structure of the Mishkan, of the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Beis HaMikdash is in the west. So if you're talking about Lefnei Hashem, it has to be facing towards the west. If you're talking about El Pnei HaMizbeach, the Mizbeach went from a southern ramp going up to the northern Mizbeach. So if it's what we call El Pnei HaMizbeach, it has to be on the southern side. So here we have this pasuk telling us it has to be on the western side, Lefnei Hashem, but it also has to be on the southern side, Pnei HaMizbeach. So how can you accomplish both? So the Braisa explains, Vitanya. The Braisa says, Lefnei Hashem, when it says in front of Hashem, that means it has to be on the western side. Yochel B'Mariv, it has to be, you bring it to the western side of the Mizbeach, because it has to be Lefnei Hashem. But then, Talmud Lomar, El Pnei HaMizbeach, it says it has to be in front of the Mizbeach, implying the southern side. No, El Pnei HaMizbeach, it means the southern side, Yochel B'Dorma. I would think it's just on the southern side. Talmud Lomar, Lefnei Hashem, tells me it has to be on the western side. So we have a stira. Part of the pasuk says on the western side, part of the pasuk says on the southern side. How do you fulfill both? Ha-ketzad, magisha b'keren dromis maravis. You do it to the southwestern corner. And this way, it's both west and south. Kinegid chudash o'keren, at the very tip, at the very corner, where the south border meets the west border, and vidayo, that is enough. You don't have to do anything else. And still, we have to explain, what does it mean, vidayo? What else would we thought you have to do? Now, the Gemara says, this is the opinion of this Braisa. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar adds to this, and he says, Yochol yagi shena b'marava shel keren, ol idroma shel keren. You might have thought that the pasuk tells us, Lefnei Hashem, El Pnei HaMizbeach, that you have a field of choice. You can do whatever you want. You want to bring it to the southern side, you yotze. You want to bring it to the western side, you yotze. So Rabbi Elazar tells us, no, Amis. Kol makom shatov motzei shnei mikros. When you have two psukim that seem to contradict each other, ech mekayim atzo, mekayim divrei chaveiro. But if you can make them both coincide with each other, you're fulfilling dictum A and dictum B if you do it one way. But the other way of darshan it would be that you do dictum A, then you cannot do dictum B. So then, what should you do? Don't do it the way that would only fulfill one of the two requirements, but go and grab onto the way, the way that will allow you to fill both dictum A and dictum B. So in this situation, don't pick south that won't be west, don't pick west that won't be south, but pick something that is both south and is both west. And therefore, kisha to omer, when you say over here, lifnei Hashem, which means b'marov, if you're doing it on the western side, so be talta open eid have mizbeach b'dor. So if you do it purely on the western side, then you're not fulfilling the part that says el pnei mizbeach, which is the southern side. Ukishat omer el pnei mizbeach b'dor. If you do it on the southern side, so kiyamto lifnei Hashem b'marav, you can also fulfill in front of the heichal because you can do it at the southwest corner. So therefore, you do both. Haketzah megishal udroma shel keren. Do it at the most southern point. That is also the most western point at the southwest corner. So what says the Heichon Kiyamta? How have you actually done this? So Amar Ravashi, Kesavar Haytana, Kulam Mizbeach Batzofun Koy. Because this Tana holds that the entire Mizbeach was in the northern part. There are three opinions that we learn in the Gemara Yuma and other places telling us that either Mizbeach was located entirely in the north, it was located somewhat in the middle, but half north, half south, or was located all in the south. So this opinion would have the entire Mizbeach in the north, and therefore the southern part of the Mizbeach would also be Kineged the Heichal. And the diagrams of this in the art school, if you're having difficulty seeing this, in footnote number 23. But basically, if the entire Mizbeach is in the north, so then the southern aspect, the southern side of the Mizbeach, is going to be directly Lifnei Hashem, right plop in the middle of the Azara. And therefore, if you do it at the southwest corner, you're accomplishing both south and west, and therefore, this way, you can fulfill both parts of the Pasuk and not have to negate part of the Pasuk. Now we finally ask, as I mentioned already twice, my Vidaya, what were you thinking that the Bryce has to tell us, and that's enough? What else would you think you have to do that you're saying, Dayo? It's enough to go bring the Mincha to the Mizbeach, Vidayo. So Amar Ravashi tells us, Itzrich, you need to tell us the Vidaya, because I might have thought, Selkadai Techamina, I would have said on my own, to Tiboy Hagoshas Mincha Gufa, that the Mincha itself has to touch the Mizbeach, not just the Kli Shareis. So Kamash V'lam, no, as long as the Kli Shareis touches it, that's enough. No, maybe it does have to mean that the Mincha touches it. How do you know that it's not that the Mincha has to touch it, it's enough that the Kli Shareis touches it? Why are you saying Vidayo? Because the Pasuk says, Amakra, Vikriva El HaKohen. Now the word Vigomer is incorrect because the rest of the Pasuk continues. There's no missing words. The Pasuk says, Vikriva El HaKohen, Vigish El HaMizbeach. Then it says, you shall bring it to the Kohen, which is the Mincha in the Kli Shareis. And then it says, Vigish El HaMizbeach. The same thing that you brought to the Kohen, you bring to the Mizbeach. So therefore, Ma HaKra Ve'etzol Kohen B'Kli. Just like you don't give the Kohen the Mincha without it being in a Kli, so too. Afa Gosh El HaMizbeach. When you bring it to the Mizbeach, when you get it close to the Mizbeach, you do it bichli. You don't have to actually have the Mincha at that point in time touch the Mizbeach. Brisa continues, and we say, you have to push aside the Lavona to the side, so when you're doing the Kmitza, you don't get any Lavona in it, because the din is, you're not allowed to have anything in your hand other than the flour mixed with the oil. Because when you do the Kmitza, you're not allowed to have anything with that Kmitza, anything else with it. So therefore, you have to push the Lavona, the frankincense, to the side. Kedidnan, like we learned in the Mishnah in Menachos. The Mishnah in Menachos tells us that if you do the Kmitza, so then, Komatz, Va'ola b'yodot tsroar, O gargir melach, O korit Lavona, pasul. When you do the Kmitza, if any pebble comes up in his hand, somehow there was mixed inside the flour, a pebble, or a piece of salt, because you're supposed to salt the Korban Mincha, O korit Lavona, or a piece of the Lavona, somehow wasn't pushed aside, so then possible. Then the kmitza is no good. The kmitza has to be a set amount, a 3 fingers worth amount of pure flour, albeit oil is allowed to be mixed in it, but it's not allowed to have any of these other things. It can't have a pebble in it. That's certainly no good. It can't even have salt in it. Again, the mitzvah I pointed out is to salt the kmitza, but if you wish to, you're allowed to salt it when it's still all intact together, so that's how you could have possibly salt over here. And the Lavona was certainly placed upon the entire Mincha, but you had to push the Lavona aside. So that's what we see. Umasalik is Lavona Salatad Echon. Okay. Then we continue with the Braisa. You go and do the Kmitza from a place where there's lots of oil. As I pointed out already, you are allowed and required to do the Kmitza in a place where there's flour and oil. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says, Dirsiv, Mi Salta Umi Shamna. When you're talking about this couple of places in Perek Vav, in Parshat Tzav, where it talks about the Korban Mincha, and it says first about a Korban Mincha that comes from wheat, Misalta Umishamra, from the fine flour, the solus is the finely sifted flour, and from the oil. That's what you do to Kmitza. And likewise, when it talks about a barley offering, it says Migirsa, which is the same thing as Salta. For barley, it's very, very finely sifted flour of barley, Umishamra, and from the oil that's there. So from these two psukim, we see that there's an obligation to go and take the Kmitza just from flour and oil, not from any of the other things, but it does have to have oil in it. Then we quote the Brice again. The nos and lasol klisharis and makacha with klisharis. You put it into the klisharis and now it has kedusha sakuf. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Why do I have to give it kedusha sakuf? Lomeli. Ha kitsha chaduzimna. We already put it into the kli that when we had the entire mincha put into a kli, it got kedusha sakuf. How come now when I'm taking the kmitz out, I have to go put into another klisharis and give it kedusha sakuf? It already has kedusha sakuf. What's going on? So Gemara says, no, this is very similar to the Kabbalah's dam. When you do shechita on the animal, so the shechita can be done by a Yisrael, that's technically allowed, or the minhag was to do it by a Kohen, but a Kohen had to do the Kabbalah's dam. Midei dahava adam. That just like with the dam, afogav the kidshe kadishte sakin b'tzavor behema, even though it had, so to say, kedusha saguf by shechting it, so you turned it into a carbon at that point in time, so the sakin was like the first klisharis by the carbon mincha, nevertheless, there is a halacha, hodor mikadishle makdishle b'klisharis, that you have to go collect the dam in another klisharis, so too by the carbon mincha, ochanami. It already has kedusha, like the sakin made the kedusha saguf of the behema, so too over here, lo shna, there is no difference by the carbon mincha that it has to have the kmitza put into a separate klisharis, like the dam is put into a separate klisharis. Then we quote the Mishnah, it says, then you go, after you did the kmitza, you go take the all the lavona that's left in the shrayim of the korban mincha, and you put it back onto the kmitza. How do we know that? Because the pasuk says, "Veis kol halavona asher mincha," because it says you have to put all of the lavona back on the mincha, the kmitza. Then we say, "Umaleyu." Then you go and bring up the kmitza onto the top of the mizbech, and we turn to tesvava min aliv. Maleyu maktiro b'klisharez. You put it up there in a klisharez. So Gemara asks, this is the girsa that we have. Rashi in a moment will teach us a different girsa, but according to the girsa that we have, b'klisharez maktirle, do you put the fire into the klisharez and you sacrifice it in that fashion? So Gemara says, no, ella ema maleyu b'klisharez lehaktiro. You bring the klisharez up to the mizbeach in order to go and sacrifice it all on the mizbeach. So therefore, you don't put the fire into the klisharis itself. That's the girsa that we have. Rashi, however, the top Rashi says, Hachi Gersin, and this is the way to read the question. Umaktiro sokadaitach? He says, do we go and sacrifice it on the Mizbeach? Now, what's the question? According to Rashi, we don't say, v'lo goras, otu b'chli sharis maktile, that we put the fire into the klisharis. That's not the question. This is the kasha here. Maktiro sokadaitach? Do we put the klisharis on the Mizbeach? We haven't yet put in the salt. The salt's a requirement, as we said. Because later on in the Brice, it only says that you go and put in the salt. So how can we put it up on the Mizbeach without having salt on it? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, so it means that you're going to go put it up on the Mizbeach, and we're saying, you're going to do this in order to get it ready. Klomar, as Rashi says, it's only after you put the salt on it that you're doing this. Then we have umocho. Now it says, you go put the salt on it, and now, now you can go put it on the fire. And this is based upon the pasuk, duksiv, the whole karban, mincha secha, Bamelach Timloch the Gomer, that you have to go and put salt on the carbon mincha. And the Brisa says, Karva Kometz, Shioreo Necholim. So it says that after you are makriv the Kometz, so then you're allowed to go and eat the shrine. The Pirchei Kuhuna, the male Kohanim, are allowed to go and eat the remainder, the shrine of the carbon mincha. How do we know that? Minolon. So Dixib, because we have two psukim that we're going to bring down. Now, if you look in the Torah or Hasholem, which is found by Beis and Gimel here, Lani is Dati, they're quoting the wrong psukim. They're quoting over here, Vayikra Beis, Tes Zayin, and Vayikra Beis, Pasuk Yud. But in fact, the earlier psukim, with the same exact words, are found in Vayikra Beis, Pasuk Beis, and Vayikra Beis, Pasuk Gimel. And I think that's what these psukim are, not as the Torah or Hasholim has it. The Siv, the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Beis, Perik Beis, Pasuk Beis, Dechsiv, Vihiktir HaKohen, es askor esav v'gomer. And then it says in the next pasuk, in pasuk gimel, uksiv vanoseris min hamincha li'aron ulevanov. So therefore, I think those are the two pesukim. It's not 100% wrong what they're quoting, but they're quoting two pesukim that aren't next to each other, and they're quoting pesukim that aren't talking about the same type of korban mincha. So therefore, I think they're really referring back to the earlier pesukim in Perek Beis, pasuk Beis, and pasuk gimel. Let's go a little bit weiter to finish off the end of this brisa. So the brisa continues and it says, Karev ha-komets, the komets, once it's sacrificed, so then you're allowed to eat the shrayim. How much has to actually be sacrificed of the komets in order to eat the brisa? So this is a machlokis, lamar kedislay, lamar kedislay. We'll see this machlokis now, as the Gemara tells us, the Itmar. We learned in the following emra, ha-komets, when the person does the kmitza, at what point are the shrayim matired? Me'em yisay matir shirayim bi'achila. When can the pirchikun eat the shrayim? So we have a machlokis. Rabbi Chanina Omar Mishetishlot Boho Ur, when the fire has even just started to get onto it, now the Shraim Mutur. And Rabbi Yochanan Omar, no, Mishetitza Ur Biruba, when the fire has consumed most of it, so then you're allowed to go and have the Shraim. Then the Brisa says, Rashraim Kohanim Litain Lisocho Yayim Vishemish Dvash, the Kohanim are allowed to go and add to it delicacies like wine and oil and honey. My time, how come? So this is based upon the famous pasuk. On my cross, the pasuk says Lamashra. Rashi tells us this is written by Matnos Kuna. It says Ksiv L'cha Nisatim L'moshcha. What does that mean? L'gdula. You should have it for any way you want, like the kings. Kiderech Shamalochim Ochlet. Just like the kings go and eat it, so too you're supposed to eat it in a very fancy way. So therefore, you can add wine to it and add all sorts of other things to it. There's a very interesting discussion here. It says like kings eat it, so kings would never eat standing up. That implies that the Kohanim are eating the Karban Mincha and any other Karbanas that they eat while they're sitting down. But there's only a problem. Only Malchus Beis David is allowed to sit in the Azara. So there's a famous Tosos that's describing that just like you're allowed to do Smicha, which is leaning, and leaning on an animal is the equivalent of sitting. So when you're leaning on something, if you'd fall down, you're supposed to lean fully on the animal. So that means if the animal was pulled away, you would fall down. So that's halachically considered like you're sitting down. So how are you allowed to ever do smicha? So the answer is that if you're allowed to do smicha, that's the avoda. So too, the avoda requires you to be sitting. So any avoda which would require you to be sitting is not considered something that only Malchus Beis David is allowed to do. So therefore, the Kohanim are allowed to go and sit when they eat the Korbanos, sit when they eat the Korban Mincha, because they're supposed to be doing the Avodah, L'moshcha, like a king. Finally, we conclude this Braisa. They're allowed to put on it all sorts of things like wine or honey or oil, but they can't let it become chametz. Why is that? Because the pasuk says, "D'chsev lo siyafeh chametz chalkom." They're not allowed to go and make it into chametz. Their chelik, even their chelik, Amar Rishon Lakish, apilu chalkom, even their chelik, which is the shrayim, lo teyafeh. So you're not allowed to go and even make the shrayim. As Amar Rishon Lakish, apilu chalkom, lo teyafeh chametz. Even the chelik that's theirs is not allowed to have it become chametz. So certainly the entire korban mincha before the kmitza can't become chametz, but even after you've done the kmitza, you might think, now we can make a chametz. No, you're still not allowed to go and make a chametz. Okay, we went pretty far down, but this way we finished off the Obraisa, and we're ready to pick up tomorrow with the next discussion of our Mishnah. With this, we conclude today's shiur.